Had a couple of questions that was left over from our Sunday lesson sheet. As we finished our study Sunday, Judah had just been entered into by Babylon. They had taken some captives. And question 13 we ask, when Babylon entered Jerusalem, what happened to the king and the city? King Zedekiah, what did Zedekiah do? Yeah, he tried to run, didn't he? You know, as he saw his kingdom crumble, the human wisdom said, let's get out of here. So he ran. But what was he told to do prior to that? Yeah, Jeremiah said, you stay and you surrender. You surrender to the king and you will live. Your city will not be burned. Your houses will not be burned. And your family will be okay. And so all he had to do is have faith and surrender. And all those things have been preserved for him. But what happened? He fled.
He was captured.
Yeah. So all those things that the Lord had promised him through Jeremiah, he lost. He lost his family. Jerusalem was burned. His house was burned. His family was gone. And then he was blinded physically, and he was taken in chains to Babylon. And so he's taken captive. So everything that God told him would not happen to him if he stayed, he left, and those things did happen to him. Question 14, why were some spared when Babylon took Jerusalem? According to verse 18. Yeah. As verse 18 says, for I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. And so those that trusted in the Lord, and those that did what God said, they were rewarded for that, and they were spared. And we talk about the remnant of Judah returning to their homeland. These are the people that God protected and took care of. Anything else over last week's lesson before we get into tonight's lesson? Sure. Jerome?
Crossing over between the two. That guy, Ebed-Melech, and then Baruch later on in our section today, and Jeremiah are the three people that are mentioned by name.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the only ones that we have recorded for us that listened and obeyed. Yeah, it's a good point. Anything else? Okay, as we begin our study tonight, as we said, Babylon has entered Judah, has entered the city of Jerusalem. They're taking over, taking control. But Jeremiah is still a prophet. Just because Judah has been carried off captive and the kingdom has crumbled, Jeremiah does not stop being a prophet. God still has a message for him to deliver. And so Jeremiah is still a prophet of God. And then we get into tonight's lesson. It seems kind of odd that Judah, for years, has not listened to God. They've had every evidence given to them, every opportunity to listen to them, to God. But they rejected him. But Babylon and those in power in Babylon seemed to be the ones that knew about God and understood what God had done. And as we started reading about some of those things in Jeremiah here, I thought of Daniel, our study. Let's turn back to Daniel chapter 3. The first one is Daniel 3, verses 28 to 30. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so as Nebuchadnezzar threw the three friends of Daniel into the fire, he walked over and looked in the window. And he saw them running around, and he saw that they weren't bothered by the fire. They weren't touched. I thought it was interesting that he says, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. The Babylonians had multiple gods. They had a god for everything. And they put all kinds of confidence in those gods. But when he saw this, he understood that there is no God that we have can do anything like this. It's impossible. The God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego is the only God. And Nebuchadnezzar understood that, Mo. Yeah. When they mentioned their God, automatically in his mind started running through all these multiple gods. Which one of them is going to save you? Yeah.
He had destroyed so many other nations and their
yeah.
gods, so there was none.
Yeah. Yeah, and the conquering countries always put the confidence and the reason that they won because one of our gods is a lot stronger than your God. Yeah, and that's a good point. Linda?
We had studied this Daniel.
Right. Before he put him in, the conversation that they had. Yeah. 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 And that's a point we'll talk about a little bit later. But it's interesting that the nations of the world around Judah, how much they knew about Jehovah God. They knew those stories that the Jews went through. And they understood and remembered all those things. I was looking at Daniel chapter 4 again as another reference to that. Down in verse 34 and 35, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. And said, "At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" This is the king of the most powerful empire in the world that understood and realized that Jehovah God is the one that's in control. And you might say, well, look what he had happen to him that opened his eyes. But what could you not say about Israel and Judah? Look what they had happen to them. Look at the things that they experienced. They heard the voice of God. They saw the miracles. They experienced them. And they still rejected. Nebuchadnezzar had this instance to him, and he realized God is the God of heaven. And then over in chapter 6, Linda was talking about, I'm going to call him Darius. Verse 25, beginning. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" So again, the king of the most powerful empire in the world, giving his praise to Jehovah God. He understood the power of God and who God was. And we get into that in the opening chapter of our study today. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Question one we ask, why did Nebuzaradan say Judah had been destroyed? What reason did they give?
They made a point to say that Jeremiah had sinned against God. But they didn't take the time to even give thought to even what they even said then. Now, because Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God. Now, had they even known that at even that point, why would they even say that? Because Jeremiah hadn't sinned against God. There's a lot of people had.
Okay, yeah, he included Jeremiah in that. And as I read that, I thought, we have language like that today. You know, the people voted for whoever. Well, you may not have voted for that person. You may have voted the other candidate. But the majority voted for the candidate. And so that's the direction that the people do, and that's what he's doing here. You guys sinned against God, and that's why you're being punished. Well, as Jerome pointed out, we have at least three people mentioned that were faithful to God by specific name, but the majority had turned their back on God, and I think that's what the captain there is talking about in that situation. But why did he tell Jeremiah that Judah had been taken captive?
They said the Lord didn't listen to him. And God did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Verses 2 and 3 said, "And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, 'The Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place. Now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said. Because you people have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed His voice, therefore this thing has come upon you.'" It's not that God just decided He was going to do it. But he already warned you about it. He told you ahead of time. And these people knew that. They knew that God had spoken. I just thought it was interesting. How did they know so much about the affairs of Judah? How did they know the affairs of what was going on? Jerome?
His answer is spot on. And you could just picture Jeremiah saying, wow, tell me about it. I've been telling these people for 40 years, and you come over and you already get it. It's like what you've been saying. Sometimes the people that are maybe farthest away or that the least you suspect them to understand, Nebuchadnezzar, he understood, he got it.
Yeah. Mo?
In line with that, Rahab knew long before Jericho was attacked. We've heard what's been going on with you and how your God has taken care of you with all these other nations. She knew down to detail, just like these folks.
Yeah. And again, I didn't write it down. So I can't recall right off the top of my head, but Jeremiah had earlier instruction to tell all the nations of the world and have them drink from the cup. Yeah, what was that drinking of the cup? Yeah, it was the wrath of God, and in doing that, the way they were going to drink from that was the idea that Jeremiah was going to talk to those people. He's going to tell the world what God expects. And these people understood that. I think they believed that. They had witness. They saw it. And how many times has God, through Jeremiah, said, you people watched Israel be walked out and lose their home. You saw that. How many times have I told you? How many times have I warned you? And you didn't listen. They had every possible chance in the world to believe and to avoid these things. But they chose not to. And they still had the same mindset. I thought about that when they wanted a king. Why'd they want a king? Because they want to be like everybody else. You know? And everybody else has all these multiple gods. Nobody else is just stuck with one. Come on. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king. We want our multiple gods. We want to be able to sit around and talk about one God all the time. And so they took off, and that's the mindset that they had. And they've made good to their promise. They wanted to be like everybody else, and so they did. Richard? Yeah. There was an old man you may have seen on TV this morning. There's an old man that they was interviewing that rode the storm out. He was scared to death, standing there talking to him about it. He said, never again. He said, I won't do this again. He said, it got pretty hairy. He said, they told us to leave, and they told us to get out of here. But he said, I thought, nah. We'll hunker down. We'll be okay. And he said, right in the middle of that, I wished I'd left. He said, I wished I had not done this. He said, never again. So I just got a picture of him. You know, the storm siren goes off, and he's firing the car up. You know, he's probably getting out of town. But yeah, I mean, but it took something like that to get his attention. But it's a lesson he'll never forget. But Judah had the same thing. They saw those things. They experienced them. And it still didn't register with them. And so they still did as they wanted to do. I could just imagine Jeremiah as he's standing there talking. Why can't my brethren see that? Why can't these Jews understand that? Just amazing. Question two, where did Jeremiah choose to dwell? Yeah, and Mizpah with Gedaliah. Who was Gedaliah? Okay. His family lineage there.
Babylon appointed him to kind of the governor to kind of rule over what was left.
Okay, he was selected to be the governor of the area, Jerome.
He's one of the guys who tried to stop the Judeans from lynching Jeremiah. He's also one of the guys who was hoping that the king would hear the scroll that was written and repent.
Yeah. If you go back to, I think it's Jeremiah 26, wasn't it? Down in verse 24, it says, "Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put to death." So those people were the ones that protected Jeremiah and saved him. And then you come back over here and read Gedaliah in verse 5. So he was the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. So there was a family tie there. Gedaliah's father had a relationship with Jeremiah, and he saved Jeremiah. He protected Jeremiah. And so there was a family tie there between Gedaliah and Ahikam with Jeremiah. So it was probably a no brainer for where Jeremiah was going to go live. I'll go where my friend's at. And so he went to Mizpah. I just thought it was interesting that they put that in there where he moved to. Anything else over question to Jerome?
Even going back further, Shaphan was one of the guys that was supportive of the reforms of Josiah to eliminate all the idolatry. So it brings up that lineage a lot. This guy comes from good stock.
Yeah, and there's some more of the people that were faithful to God. Yeah, that's a good point. Anybody else? Hey, question 3. We're introduced to a guy named Ishmael here in chapter 41. What was it that Ishmael did? Yeah. Okay. Who was Ishmael? Check his family lineage. Yeah, he was of the royal stock. He was, as you read this, he was probably in line for a position in Judah. And he was overlooked by Nebuchadnezzar. And he picked this Gedaliah and put him in that position. And so you kind of get the idea there from the way it reads that was a little more than he was willing to tolerate. And so he goes and devises a scheme and a plan to kill the governor. And the governor took him in, had a feast there, and he took the opportunity and killed Gedaliah and got him buried and out of the way, and said that for 2 days it was so private that nobody knew about it. You know, he survived before the word got out. Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah. It said about 80 men came as they were coming to worship. This Ishmael convinced him to come on in and check out Gedaliah. And while they were in there, he shut the gates and killed all of them as well. Well, he didn't kill all of them. There were about, I think it said 10 that escaped. But yeah. That would kind of contaminate the water, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, he was not a very kind individual. Anything else about Ishmael? He kind of come on the scene and then disappeared and got his little army together and they went off to be with the Amorites. Yes, he'd been warned about. Yeah. 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 Yeah, he's royalty. He wouldn't be coming to kill me. Yeah, he was warned, but didn't heed the warning. Okay, question 4. Why did the captains of the forces approach Jeremiah in chapter 42? What do you want them to? What do you want them to pray about? Pray for them about. Yeah. So as they had been pursuing Ishmael, they come to Jeremiah in Egypt and they ask him, said, well, you know, would you pray to your God for us, for what we need to do? And what Jeremiah have to say to him?
They will abide in the land and obey God's commands. And they were, and God would do for them exactly as they asked. But if they don't, they will feel God's wrath upon them.
Yeah, he said, I'll be glad to. If you'll do what he tells you to do. And what was their response? Yeah. Verse 6 of chapter 42 says, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of our Lord. So you just go ahead and do it. Tell us whatever it is, whether we like it or don't like it, we'll be more than willing to do it. You know, we want to please God. We want to be on His good graces. You know, and here again, they had just seen the very things that Jeremiah had prophesied for all these years. You know, Jerusalem is going to be overtaken. You know, and a lot of times we I think don't really grasp how. These people thought, there's no way you can get through here. You know, the walls of these cities were not like the walls of this building, where you can take your hand and reach from one side to the other. You know, these walls were big enough that they could ride chariots on. They were like roads around the town. They were wide. They were big, thick walls. Yeah, you meet coming and going. Yeah, it was two lanes wide. And somebody tells them that this army is going to come down here and come inside this city. There's no way. They can't do it. Yeah. And all the prophets have prophesied peace, peace. There's no way it's going to happen. But Jeremiah said it's going to happen. The army's going to come in here. They're going to burn the walls. They're going to burn the town. And they're going to take people out of here by force and take them captive. And here these people are standing talking to Jeremiah in Egypt. Why are they down in Egypt? Just on vacation? Exactly. They were scared to death. They were running for their life. Yeah. The thing that we said could never happen, happened. And so we had to get out of Dodge. We had to go. And they went to Egypt. Now pray to God and have Him tell us what we need to do next. So the very thing that Jeremiah had prophesied happened, and they were experiencing it. And they said, whatever He says, we'll do it. If we like it or don't like it, we'll do it. So what did God tell them to do? Yeah. Yeah. You stay in Judah, stay in Jerusalem, and what was going to happen? And I'll bless you. But human wisdom kicks in, don't it? What's back in Jerusalem? Yeah. The Babylonian army. The enemy. It's the enemy. And you're telling us to go back and surrender? There's no way. But God told them that He would take care of them and He would bless them and they would be safe. But what'd they do? They took off. Left. Got out of there. And what happened to them? They said, if you leave, you'll die. And they chose to leave. Mo.
Stephen pictures them perfectly when he was talking to the Jews this day. He's looking at them uncircumcised and marking ears as your fathers did. So are you. So people who are reading about now, first looking at this, they're not going to like a child.
Yeah. And as I was reading through that section there and thinking about it, aren't we guilty of the same thing today, oftentimes? When human wisdom kicks in, how many times you've talked to somebody and the response comes back from them, well, but I just don't see how that's going to. Does it really matter if we can see how it's going to work or not? If God says to do it, isn't that enough? Yeah. These people couldn't see how it was going to. How are we going to live if we stay here and surrender? The enemy is coming after us. The enemy is coming to kill us to start with. And you're telling us to surrender to him? And so human wisdom kicks in. They say, well, I just don't see how that's going to. And how many times do we say the very same thing? Yeah. God tells us to withdraw from the unruly. But I just don't see how that's going to work. How's that going to bring them back if we withdraw from them? Yeah. Do we have to understand every little detail of things before we step out there on faith and do what God has asked us to do? If God says it, that ought to be enough. It wasn't enough for these people, and they died. You know, so many lessons for us that we need to grasp and understand. Anything else over question five? Question six. After Jeremiah finished speaking, what was he accused of in chapter 43? Yeah. He goes through all of this discussion and explaining all this that God has said in verse 2 says that Azariah the son of Hoshea, Johanan the son of Kareah, what can it be named, Bob or David or something? And all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, "You speak falsely." How were those men described? All the proud men? Yeah. Yeah. How many times has Jeremiah accused Judah of being proud? Yeah, and here he says, the proud men spoke to Jeremiah and said, "You speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, 'Do not go to Egypt to dwell there.' But Baruch, the son of Neriah, has set you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans." So they thought they had the answer. They thought they understood everything. You know, you're just trying to trick us. You're trying to get us to go back, turn ourselves in, and they're going to take us captive. Richard? Yeah, he's been accused of that since day one. Yeah. Yeah, you've been, your turn. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anything else? Question 7. What did the captains of the forces do after he had received their instructions from God? Yeah. They just did right the opposite of exactly what God had said not to do. And they gathered everybody up and they took off to Egypt. What was Nebuchadnezzar going to do in Egypt? Yeah. Look down at verse 10. So then you say to them, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne above these stones that I have hidden. And he will spread his royal pavilion over them. When he comes, he shall strike the land of Egypt and deliver to death those appointed for death, and to captivity those appointed for captivity, and the sword those appointed for the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the house of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive." And all those things that Nebuchadnezzar is going to do. And again, he calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. I thought it was interesting, it mentions that he's going to kill those that are appointed for death. God has already legislated, if you do this or do this, here's the punishment. And so Nebuchadnezzar is going to carry that out. And he's going to carry out the punishment of captivity for those that do what God has said. And so as God has predicted, that's what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do. And question 9, what did the remnant of Judah in Egypt say they were going to do?
Worship the Queen of Heaven.
Yeah. We're going to continue doing what we want to do. And we're going to worship the Queen of Heaven. Anybody look up who the Queen of Heaven referring to?
One thing said the moon. The moon.
Okay, the moon. Yeah, Ashtaroth. There were several names. Astra, Ishtar, with the planet Venus, the goddess of fertility. If you go all the way back to the days of Solomon, back in 1 Kings, Solomon was taking Israel all the way into to the Queen of Heaven in the worship there. So they said they were going to do that. Oh, yeah? Yeah. And Jeremiah, Jeremiah 13:9-10, we talked earlier, the people were described as, "Thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their heart and walk after other gods." So those followed the dictates of their heart. They did what they wanted to do, the way they wanted to do it, Glenda? And you just wonder how much they had Jeremiah put in prison, and here comes the invading enemy, and what they do? They went and released Jeremiah. And that just goes back to what Richard had said earlier. Jeremiah was already viewed as a traitor. Yeah. And so how much of that just reinforced in their minds? There's evidence right there. The enemy released him from prison. Yeah, he's working for them. And so it was easy for them to discredit everything that Jeremiah had said to them. Is it Jerome?
He died on a cross as one who was cursed by God, and almost everyone there thought that.
Yeah, exactly. Appreciate all your comments, and we'll pick up Sunday.